Gloom and doom is just not what too many Christians want to hear today. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. And I mentioned that, many of us Christians today, we have an aversion to things that are gloom and doom. We don't really want to deal with them. We don't want to think about them. We want to think about things that make us feel good. And that's what we were talking about last time. And as part of our discussion last time, I quoted Ephesians 4:14, which says, "As a result, we are no longer children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." And that's Paul saying the way we should live. And then, of course, in the letter to Timothy, the second letter, Chapter 4:3, he says, quote, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires." You know, this unwillingness to want to learn, for instance, about prophetic events and how they are unfolding is due to the fact that many, far too many within Christendom have a wrong view of what God is doing. They simply fail to understand God's purposes and what those purposes mean in the midst of things that we as Christians face. We have so many people today teaching us about prosperity gospel, teaching us that we can name it and claim it, teaching us that God wants us to be rich, that persecutions and tribulations should never be part of the Christian's life. That's all garbage. It's all hogwash. It's antithetical to what Scripture actually teaches. If we truly understood that God was calling people from this world to become part of his invisible church, we would adopt a different perspective, which is none other than God's perspective. Instead, we adopt a human point of view that is in most cases adopted from fallen creatures within the spiritual realm. One author said the following, and you know, it's funny because these words, in my opinion, never rang more true than they do today. He said this, it's a long quote, so stick with me. Quote, "Like every age, our age will also come to a close. It is here we find one of the vital errors amongst Christians at the present time. They never think of this age of gospel preaching and gospel privilege as coming to an end. If one speaks to them about the end of the age, they think it means after the world is converted and the passing away of the world itself. Peter has given us the witness that this would be one of the characteristics of the last days when mockers shall come, saying, 'Where's the promise of his coming? For from the day of our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.' This is what we find so much in our day. In spite of the horrible conditions in which this age has been plunged and the confirmation of the predictions of the Bible relating to this age, the mass of professing Christians expect that things will continue and that after the war, the age will speedily improve. We've seen before how impossible this is, for the Bible teaches us that this age is an evil age, and there is not a single passage which promises an improvement. On the contrary, everything in the Word shows that as the age ends and its real end comes, all the evil conditions present in this age come to a head and climax. We find, therefore, a great deal said in the Scriptures about the end of the age. The Lord Jesus speaks of it in his parables in Matthew 13. He has also given a complete panorama of the age ending in his great Olivet Discourse. And this writer continues by saying, there, when we come to the epistles, we find that the Spirit of God, through every writer, gives a warning and a witness about the end of the age. All these warnings and witnesses do not tell us of a converted world and a world which is won to righteousness, of nations who lay down their armaments and no longer make war, nor do these warnings and predictions speak of a triumph of the doctrine of Christ. They tell us the very opposite. They give warnings that the faith is going to be rejected, that delusions and errors are going to multiply, that nation is going to lift up sword against nation and kingdom against kingdom, that lawlessness and unrighteousness are going to increase, and that the age itself is going to end in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen before. Unquote. I realize that was a long quote, but it was an important quote. And those words were written in the year 1918. That's 1918. Just after World War I, and World War II was still a few years off yet. And Israel's national independence was roughly 30 years in the future, not occurring until 1948. That's amazing, because those words perfectly describe the times we're living in now, 2012, almost 100 years after those words were written. You know, we can go through nearly every generation and find writers who wrote words such as the ones I just recalled since the time of Jesus and the apostles. Theirs are the words of one who calls out from the top of the wall to the inhabitants of the walled-in city below, warning them of impending doom in spite of what people want to hear and believe and are unable to see because of their vantage point below the wall. They don't see what's coming. They don't see the dust clouds gathering in the far-flung horizon. They don't hear the hoofbeats of the approaching storm. They don't hear it, they don't see it, and they don't believe it. Now imagine being safely tucked away inside a walled city with the watchers on the wall keeping an eye on the horizon, noting the first sign of coming disaster. Their job as watchers was to warn people so that preparations could be made. That was their job. It would have been absolute folly for the citizens of that walled city to ignore the shouted warnings of those on guard. Yet this is exactly what has happened in the past and continues to happen now. People don't want to hear bad news. They prefer to believe that things will get better. In spite of all the evidence to the contrary, and I'm talking about scriptural evidence and what we actually see taking place in the world, the Christian who turns his or her back on God's word because it is none too comforting has effectively turned his or her back on God. Now, I'm not saying, and I want to clarify, make this adequately, perfectly clear, I am not saying that their salvation is lost. I'm simply saying that those authentic Christians who prefer to fill their heads with spiritual tripe in order to feel good about themselves and their lives wind up rebelling against God, who has told us the truth about this age. You know, it is extremely difficult to stay on top of everything that happens in this world because it happens all so fast. In fact, it is likely impossible, but what we are able to learn is enough to make our heads spin with confusion and even depression if we allow it to. That is, if we are unwilling to take God's word seriously and truthfully. But let's continue with the problem, because anywhere you look today, you're going to see it. If you take the time to observe what you actually see, evil is unfolding right before our eyes, and yet there are those who believe that they can stand against it and even turn back the tide. I say it can't be done because the Bible teaches us that it won't be done, certainly not by human beings. It will be done by God himself, personally, when Jesus returns. Too much that was once hidden and deliberately kept undercover is now out in the open. Look at the condition of rock music today. It has come a very long way from the old shake, rattle, and roll days of yesterday, but those were the early stages when the doors were first being opened. Looking back on those very early days of rock and roll, it seems so innocuous now compared to what exists today. We might even be tempted to think that if only we had those good old days back again, things would be better. But even then, parents, during that day and age, were upset with people like Elvis Presley and groups like the Beatles. They not only represented something new, but they represented a movement away from the then accepted norms of society, and certainly not in a good way. Elvis's pelvis was a shocker to many, and I'm I'm convinced he was not intentionally trying to replicate a sex act on the stage as much as it was simply the way he danced. It didn't matter, though, because I believe he was used by powers and principalities to force open the door, allowing even more heinous things to eventually come through, things that we have and that are accepted as normal today. Consider the state of rock music, and I've spent many years playing the drums and being involved in rock music. I haven't done that for a long time because of the way music has gotten. But I could name band after band that appears to have focused on demonism. But let's just focus on one. Avenged Sevenfold. Have you heard of it? This group is made up of young men who were raised largely in the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm not condemning the Roman Catholic Church here, by the way. I'm just simply saying they have a religious background. They should know better. They look gothic and are covered in tattoos and piercings. Their music is reflective of groups like Metallica with their driving beat and very dark lyrics, and yet parts of their songs are very melodic and easy on the ears. Because of their religious background and training, many of their songs contain lyrics that have clear religious underpinnings and overtones. Take, for example, the lyrics to the song Nightmare. Quote, dragged you down below, down to the devil's show. To be his guest forever, peace of mind is less than never. Hate to twist your mind, but God ain't on your side. An old acquaintance severed, burn the world, your last endeavor. Flesh is burning, you can smell it in the air. 'Cause men like you have such an easy soul to steal. So stand in line while they ink numbers in your head. You're now a slave until the end of time here. Nothing stops the madness turning, haunting, yearning, pull the trigger. And it continues on and on. I'm not going to read all the lyrics. You can look them up on the internet if you like. Avenged Sevenfold has many songs that include the types of imagery in those lyrics about hell and about the kinds of things that happen in hell. If you watch videos of their live performances, you're going to hear the use of the F-bomb word often as the lead singer talks to the gathered crowd, bantering back and forth or introducing the next song. While there have been a number of personnel changes over the years, their original drummer died a while ago due in part to a drug overdose. Now when they sing the song they call Afterlife, they reference him, Jimmy the Rev Sullivan, as being in heaven. There is just something pervasively evil with many rock groups today, yet their persona is commonly accepted as the norm by many young people. Here's a partial list of song titles from their many albums, Avenged Sevenfold. A Little Piece of Heaven, Afterlife, Bat Country, Beast in the Harlot, Betrayed, Darkness Surrounding, We Come at Night, The Wicked End, Scream, Dear God, Demons, Dancing Dead, God Hates Us, To End the Rapture, Eternal Rest. Some of the album names they have out go like this, Sounding the Seventh Trumpet, Walking the Fallen, City of Evil, and more. And the lyric, you'll have to look up the lyrics to the song God Hates Us. It could have been written by Satan himself, in my opinion, twisting the truth to make himself look good. Imagine any band producing songs with lyrics like these just 10 or 20 years ago. Certainly they would have been on the fringe. They would have been deeply underground, not solidly entrenched in the mainstream. Yet here we are in 2012, and this is only one band with lyrics that seem penned by a demon from hell. Worse, these are the lyrics that kids listen to and sing for their own enjoyment and listening pleasure. Now, I'm not saying that the band members themselves worship Satan, and I'm not saying that they know what they're doing. I think they may actually be just simply being used by the enemy to spread that evil message. It's clear that they believe that they're going to be in heaven one day. Well, who knows? We'll see. I pray that's the case, but they're going to have to do some changing before then. The tragedy is that these are the types of young groups that many young people will look up to for direction today to help frame their social consciousness and awareness. And we're going to continue with this. This is a serious subject. I apologize if you consider it a downer. The reality is it needs to be discussed. It needs to be out in the open. So thank you for joining me today. And we'll continue with this next time. And until next time, may God open your eyes to show you how truly blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.